Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Listen to the Voice, based on our gospel reading from Luke 3, especially the fourth verse that reads, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." I invite you to turn to the back of your worship folder and follow the sermon outline there as we consider our theme, Listen to the Voice. Well, the phone rings and you pick it up. And the voice on the other end says, "Hey, how you doing?" And you pause, and the pause gets longer as you say, okay, because you're not sure who it is. You don't recognize the voice. Some people are in the habit of phoning others, never identifying themselves, just starting talking and guessing that we know who they are. Now, at times, I don't know who it is. And it can get embarrassing as I try to listen, who is this, as they go on and on. If you're one of those people who phone me up and don't identify yourself and think I know who you are, stop it! Tell me who you are. Another time, the phone rings. You pick it up and say, "Hello?" And a voice says, "Hey, how are you doing?" And right away, you know who it is. How come? Because there are some people whose voices we know so well, as soon as we hear it, we know who it is. Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we gather to listen to a voice. A voice that cries out, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Repent. Make his paths straight." This is the voice of none other than John the Baptizer. And he today has an important message to each of us here. Don't hang up the phone. Listen to him. He's calling for you. We know John as the forerunner of Christ. As he came to prepare people for the coming of Jesus. We know John the Baptizer as that wild man living in the wilderness, dressed in camel's hair garments, eating locusts and wild honey. We know him as that man who baptized so many people, thus his title, John the Baptizer. But most of all, we remember John because of his voice. His voice and the message of that voice that proclaimed, "Repent! You prepare the way of the Lord. You make straight the paths for His coming. The kingdom of heaven is near." In the Old Testament times, God raised up prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos to call His people to repentance, to call them to quit following after all the false gods of the peoples around them, to call them to quit making a false appearance of being right with God, to call them to quit putting trust in their own good deeds instead of the mercy of God to get them to the kingdom of heaven, to quit their half-hearted worship of just going through the motions. Now, the same things were true. In the New Testament account of John the Baptizer, John is a voice crying in the wilderness, calling his people to repent of these very same things. And the people responded. Listen to the gospel account. People went out to him from Jerusalem, all Judea, the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins They were baptized by John in the Jordan River. Today, God has also sent John to call us to repentance. Can you hear his voice? He's not calling to the neighbor you're sitting next to. He's calling to you. As the people of God of Israel worshiped God half-heartedly, often we find ourselves guilty of the same thing. Whenever we make a habit of skipping worship on Sunday for some other activity, we need to repent. Whenever we hear His Word preached, but really don't pay attention to it, or don't apply it to our Monday through Saturday lives, we need to repent. Whenever we treat Sunday worship like a burdensome duty instead of a wonderful privilege, we need to repent. Whenever we think that our salvation is based on our church membership instead of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ as He gave His life for us on the cross, then we need to repent. Did you know the biblical word for repent doesn't just mean feel sorry? The biblical word for repent, I'll show you, means to do this. It means to turn around 180 degrees from the direction you were going, to repent. Means to change the direction you're going. Genuine repentance does include sorrow for sin, but also a change of thinking and of acting. And only the Holy Spirit of God, only the Holy Spirit of God through His Word can affect that kind of change in our hearts and minds. You see, the people who heard the voice of John the Baptizer really were hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit calling to them and convicting them. And the Holy Spirit led them to be baptized by John in what St. Luke calls a baptism of repentance. As the Holy Spirit led people at that time to hear God's Word and to hear God's, to receive baptism, so the Spirit of God has led you to this place to hear God's Word and to receive His sacrament of baptism as well. If there's anyone here this morning who has not been baptized or been instructed in the Christian faith, but that you want to be, know that God the Spirit is speaking to your heart, and you are welcome here to speak to me about any of these matters. The Spirit is calling to you. Listen to His voice. Dear friends, through our ongoing hearing of God's Word in this place, our faith is being strengthened. We grow in trusting that because of Jesus Christ, God the Father no longer condemns us for our sin. Did you hear me? Are you listening? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father no longer condemns you for your sin. When the Father looks upon you, He no longer sees you in your sin. He sees you clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. St. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8, verse 1. There is now no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you are in Christ Jesus through faith, the very righteousness of Christ covers you. And the Father only sees you as His forgiven children. By the way, why does a preacher wear such robes? To remind us that we are covered in the righteousness of Christ. Now, there's an old hymn in our hymn book that says the same thing. I won't sing it to you. I don't want to spoil your lunch ahead of time. But listen to these words. Number 563 in our hymn book. Jesus, Your blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shores. You have for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. My friends, we're talking about the cross. For the Christian, it's all about the cross. Everything we hold dear, everything we hold near to our heart is centered on the one who gave his life for us on that cross. Now, this time of year, of course, what are we thinking about? We're all thinking about Christmas and Jesus' birth. And well, we should be. But my friends, the very reason for Christmas, now listen carefully to this next sentence. The very reason for Christmas is the cross. Jesus was born so that he could lay down his life. Jesus was born so he could become our Savior. And Christmas without the cross really means little or nothing. That's the reason why at our house, in our big window facing the road and the agricultural land across the street, that's why at our house in this window on the first Sunday of every Advent, we put up a large cross. And all around this cross are Christmas lights. And when the outside light grows dim and dark, the whole neighborhood can see that the purpose of Christmas is the cross. Jesus' first coming at Christmas points to the one who will lay down his life for all sinners at the cross. And Jesus' second coming at the end of the world as a judge of all mankind points back to the one who already did lay down his life. What does that precious passage of the Holy Gospel say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The voice of John told the people of his day, and the voice of John tells us today that the best way to get ready, the best way to prepare for the advent of Christ is to repent. Repentance gets us right with God and gets us ready for the coming of Jesus, whether at the first coming as a babe in the Bethlehem's manger or at his second coming as the judge of all. If you're anything like me and Beverly, when you know that a special guest is coming to your house, what do? You prepare. You get ready. Why do you do it? Because you want to have everything just right for their arrival. If you really want to see a funny sight, you should come to our house when a special guest is going to come. As Beverly is in the kitchen preparing the wonderful meal as she always does, I'm busy running around dusting and cleaning and polishing and vacuuming and washing things. Why? Oh, my mother would be proud of me, by the way. Why do we do that? Because we want to be ready for the arrival of our guest. Their coming, their adventing is important to us. And we want everything to be just right. The voice of John the Baptizer tells us today that the very best way for each of us to prepare for the coming of our Lord is to repent, to dust, to clean, to vacuum, to clean away those sins from our lives, to turn away from them, and to return to our Lord in faith and obedience. When John's voice called the people of his day to repent, what was their response? Listen to this. In Luke chapter 3, verse 10. And the crowds asked him, "What shall we do?" Verse 12. And the tax collectors asked him, "What shall we do?" Verse 14, and the soldiers asked him, can you guess what they asked? What shall we do? And John told them the same thing. You need to bear the fruits of repentance. Holy Scripture gives us two broad principles when it describes what does it mean to bear the fruits of repentance. Look at your sermon outline. The last two points on your sermon outline. Would your eyes please find those two points? What does it mean to bear the fruit of repentance? Principle number one. It means to turn away. To turn away from the sins you're repenting of. To the greedy and selfish of his day, John the Baptizer said, give clothing and food to those who are in need. To the cheating tax collectors of his day, John the Baptizer said, quit ripping people off. Collect only the proper amount. To a woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, go now and leave your life of sin. Now here is the question for you to take home with you today. And don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about your spouse or anybody else. Think about only yourself. What sin do you need to repent of this Advent season? If it's anger and holding on to a grudge, then forgiveness is in order. If it is neglecting your parents or neglecting your children, then giving them your time and affection is in order. If it's neglecting God and His holy word, then a change in your weekly priorities is in order. The fruit of repentance is turning from the sin you're repenting of. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ, who lives in you by faith, will strengthen you for this holy task. Principle two, it's on your sheet. Restore, if possible, what sin has ruined. Can you think of some situations in your life where sin has ruined something? When Zacchaeus the tax collector came down from his sycamore tree, when Jesus called to him, this is what Zacchaeus said in Luke 19, verse 8. Listen carefully. Zacchaeus says, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount. What sinned, ruined situation do you need to restore in your life in this Advent season? My friends, it's not too late to restore that which sin has ruined. I say it again. It is not too late to restore that which sin has ruined. Jesus Christ, who lives in you by faith, will strengthen you for this holy task. Please. Take that first step. No matter how small a step that might be, make that phone call. Write that letter. Send that card or email. Personally deliver that bouquet of flowers. Take that walk and knock on the front door of that house. If there is a way, anyway, to even to begin to restore what our sin has ruined, our Lord Jesus Christ will give us the strength to bear those fruits of repentance. Now, we end this sermon where we started. Sometimes when I pick up the phone, I hear a voice on the other end of the line. And the voice doesn't call me Pastor Harold. And the voice doesn't call me Dr. Harold. or the voice doesn't call me Stephen, or in my wife's case, the voice doesn't call me sweetheart. I won't tell you some of the other nice things she calls me. But when I hear a voice on the other end of the phone and it starts off like this, "Hello? Is this Mr. Harold?" Well, then I'm pretty sure I don't want to listen to that voice, because they're probably trying to sell me something I don't need or I don't want. That's a voice I don't want to listen to. I just want to hang up the phone. But today, in today's sermon, the voice of John the Baptizer is calling out to you and to me, don't hang up the phone. Listen carefully to what the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart today about repentance. His message is simple. John's message is an important one. His message is just this. Repent. Daily repent and discover what a wonderful difference it will make in your life as you get ready for the coming of the Christ at Christmas. Dear Lord, make each of us here today your repentant and forgiven child, ready for the advent of Jesus, both at Christmas and at the end of the world. In the name of Jesus, Amen.